Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, Joe Bartel is our expert from RotoWire.com. For two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the information you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free day, 10-day trial for Ben and Woods listeners. Go to RotoWire.com/free. Joe joins us each week, usually at 6:35. I double booked, unfortunately, this morning because Paul's out. I appreciate Joe backing it up here to 7:35. Get a new audience for you, Joe, this morning. It's good to have you.
Hey, it's always good to be flexible in these situations. And anytime I can talk about fantasy football is the best time. It doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Benny, you got to let me go first this week because I'm that guy. I drafted a few Steelers. They've done pretty well for me. Now they're out on bye, and I'm panicking, and I've got to make some moves. The running back position is always one that's tough to stream. You kind of got to have your two or three guys there. I unfortunately do not. Are there any decent options that you could see being a nice fill-in stream for in the running back position this week?
I wish I could give you some good news. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Maybe a guy like Matt Breida or Tevin Coleman is available on waivers. Of course, the 49ers to buy 2 weeks ago, and we've seen the San Francisco kind of rotate the running backs around a little bit to the point where maybe they're available on waivers. And that's great because they play the Redskins this week. Jamal Williams might be an interesting name to monitor, especially if you're in a bind with James Conner on a bye. Obviously, he's not going to be putting up 20-plus points again like he did last week, or I guess I should say Monday against the Lions. But I do think it's going to be more of a timeshare with Aaron Jones. We've seen it before. Really, Jamal Williams just missed time due to a concussion on a dirty play from the Eagles on that Thursday night game. So that might be an interesting game to monitor. And then the guy like Devin Singletary, who has been injured. The Bills were on a bye last week. I love this matchup quite a bit against the Dolphins. And frankly, I don't think Frank Gore should be the starting running back for a team that has a possibility at making a run at the playoff spot, too. So Singletary could be available, but I think it's unlikely. I think most people are kind of at least high in his talent as a rookie right now.
All right, so I'm screwed, basically, is what you're saying. Perfect.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, when it comes to these bye weeks, especially like a guy like Nick Chubb or James Conner, all those ones, this is one of the first pivotal bye weeks, it feels like, and multiple key position players at running back and wide receiver are going to be out.
Well, I've got some good news. I am finally, after an 0-5 start in the win column, Joe, got my first victory of the year. By the way, I had my worst week of the year, and I still won thanks to our colleague Braden Suprenant leaving Stephon Diggs on his bench.
Oh, that's genius.
And the 40 points that would have turned our game. Phew, so I dodged the bullet there. As I'm watching the games this weekend, one thing that stands out is, just talking about the Packers, Aaron Rodgers throw into a bunch of guys we've never heard of. Tom Brady does it as well, other than Julian Edelman. You know, those no-name receivers. Is there anyone in particular that stands out on one of those two teams that someone's got to catch those passes, Joe, and it just seems like we never know who it's going to be?
Yeah, as a Packers fan, I've seen it all in terms of different receiver talent out there on the field, and I wish I could say it's intentional. More often than not, it's either due to injuries or ineffectiveness, whereas the Patriots are able to scheme those guys so effectively, whether it be Philip Dorsett or, you know, Rex Burkhead or the like, as far as the talent that they have. I think Alan Lazard actually could be a player. Of course, he was the one that caught the touchdown that really vaulted the Packers back into contention. It was a great throw by Aaron Rodgers, and that's what's going to have to happen when you're playing with your fourth, fifth, and sixth string receivers. But I thought it was really interesting after the game how Rodgers made a point of saying he really argued for Lazard to see in the field. And I think that's a little bit because Darius Shepherd had probably one of the worst games you could have as a fourth or fifth string receiver in terms of botching the punt and then having the ball hit him in the face and then have an interception, which completely turned around the possibility of a comeback. And, of course, obviously the Packers did, but it was aided a little bit by the officiating. I like him as a potential option, at least at the third or fourth string. Geronimo Allison is just an player for me. I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Devontae Adams, and Lazard could be an interesting trio of receivers. Now, it remains to be seen how healthy MVS is going to be, and Geronimo Allison seems like he's not going to be able to go this week along with Devontae Adams. So we might get at least 1 week of Lazard being another relevant fantasy asset.
Talking to Joe Bartel, he's our RotoWire fantasy football expert. Obviously, defenses are not, you know, something that one player can turn one way or another. But the trade of Jalen Ramsey to the Los Angeles Rams, you know, how much of a boost does that give a Rams defense that, you know, obviously has already suffered some losses this year due to injuries?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how healthy Ramsey is. Of course, that was kind of the point of contention that he had this back injury, and that's why he hasn't played the last couple weeks. But is it just the Jaguars playing it safe with their star cornerback, hoping to get a trade offer, frankly, like this, two first-round picks and everything else? Or was he actually seriously hurt and wasn't able to go out there and play? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how – like, of course, when a receiver gets traded, it's like, oh, great, we got an explosive receiver. But it takes a little bit to learn the scheme and get in connection with the quarterback and all the different call-outs and stuff like that. So you can never anticipate – a trade working out that effectively. Golden Tate is a prime example last year where he just didn't have much of an influence on the Eagles' passing attack. I wonder if it's different, though, for cornerback. Can you just throw out Jalen Ramsey and say, all right, go ahead and just play man coverage on Julio Jones this week or Calvin Ridley and lock him down, and that's that? Or is it going to be, let's try to get Ramsey fitting into the scheme a little bit more? Oh, maybe he lets up a big play because he hasn't been able to communicate with the safeties before. That's something I just don't know how it's going to work out. I'm not really worried about the Rams' sake. I think that the Falcons are one of the worst teams right now in the NFL. And defensively, this is going to be an opportunity for Jared Goff to finally get back to what we've seen before with Sean McVay and everyone else. But that's more so the Falcons' defense than it is anything with the Rams' offense at this point.
You know, Joe, it's funny. When I'm looking for a defense, I mean, I'm looking for the same things I think everyone else is. Hey, not going to give up a lot of points. You don't want to get those negative numbers. Maybe they've got some turnover creators that can maybe get you a pick six somewhere and those big points that always help you in fantasy. I never consider special teams, but it's defense special teams in fantasy football.
Yeah.
How much should we be considering the special teams part of that equation in our fantasy games?
If we were still in the era with the Dante Halls of the world and Devin Hesters of the world where we knew somebody could break off a punt return or kick return at any given time, then it makes more sense. But I feel like the special teams aspect of the defense special team position in fantasy football is so inconsistent. I mean, the fact that the Lions have been able to rip off, I think, two returns throughout the year so far, and that's one of the highest in the league, says something, right? Like, you're not thinking, oh, I need to have the Detroit Lions in my lineup just because I want to make sure they get a special teams touchdown if it happens. More often than not, it's easier to target the bad matchups, whether it be the Jets when they have Luke Falk at quarterback or Dolphins right now or Redskins right now, those types of teams, and know consistently that they're going to be just bad as opposed to rolling the dice and hoping for a special teams touchdown that, frankly, the NFL has been trying to get out of the game now for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and we've seen it really deteriorate in terms of actually big returns happening and whatever else.
We're talking to our man Joe Bartel from RotoWire here on Ben and Woods doing a little fantasy football as we always do. Hunter Henry, I mean, the Chargers, bad loss. I mean, that's a game they don't want to lose at all. But Hunter Henry coming back, getting a couple of scores. Do you believe in him as a viable fantasy option going forward at tight end?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've kind of been telling everyone throughout the year, if you don't have the top eight guys, and of course we know the Kelce's, Kittle's, Zach Ertz of the world, but Austin Hooper is among the conversation as best tight end in the league right now. Darren Waller has fit into that category. Mark Andrews is too. And Evan Ingram, if you don't have those types of guys, you're sort of rolling the dice. I do think Hunter Henry fits into that category, and maybe we can expand that now to 9 or 10 overall tight ends. But again, if you're in a 12-team league, there's at least two people each and every week that are basically hoping to not get zero from the position, and they're happy with that. And having a guy like Hunter Henry, and that's why if somebody cut him after the injury in week one, you were trying to be quick to pick him up or at least capitalize on it, knowing at some point he's coming back and at some point he's going to have value. Now, he benefited significantly from essentially garbage time touchdowns at the end of the fourth quarter, and it felt like the Steelers' defense wasn't nearly as active in terms of covering Hunter Henry as maybe Keenan Allen or even Mike Williams to an extent. I don't think he's going to be able to do that this week against the Titans, and frankly, they have a pretty difficult match against the Bears the following week. So you have to understand that, great, two touchdowns, over 100 receiving yards, or I think right at 100 receiving yards. Hunter Henry's going to be back. He's great. I wouldn't say that's a for certainty, but his impact in the red zone is much needed. Austin Eckler hasn't been able to be as effective these last 2 or 3 weeks. Melvin Gordon, that's normally his bread and butter, but they haven't really been able to get him going in the red zone either. So having the big body receiver like Hunter Henry could make a difference, and I could see him catching at least a touchdown if the Chargers can move the ball against the Titans or the Bears in the next game.
Yeah, we don't care when he gets them as long as he gets them. I don't
yes,
care if they're
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Counterpoint, Woods, he'll be hurt again in 2 weeks.
That's fine. That's fine. I know. Maybe I
just have you watched Hunter Henry the first few seasons
I
of
have.
His career?
I traded
this morning
for
you. I know
for
you
him.
Did.
Yeah.
That's why he's celebrating what you're saying, Joe, right now, but in a couple of weeks he's gonna be bummed. Last thing for me, Joe, is we hit the midpoint of the season, and you got, I'm sure, some teams in your fantasy league that are starting to feel out of it. I'm kind of there at 1-5. I'm not giving up, but there's got to be some buy-low candidates, players who have had not great first halves of the season that you might want to think about trading for in the second half. Who are some of your buy-low candidates that you think are poised for a bounce back in the second half of the year?
Well, I'll give you two receivers that are both on bye, and we'll start first with Juju Smith-Schuster. At some point, we know that Mason Rudolph is going to come back, and I think once that happens, you're going to see Smith-Schuster get a little bit more involved in the offense. But this is why I like to target players right after they have a bye week. A, the owner of Juju Smith-Schuster, or the next guy I'm going to talk about, Odell Beckham Jr., have already sat through the bye. They've already made amends that they have to figure out how to figure out what their roster elsewhere. But you haven't had to worry about the bye week, right? Like, that's not a punishment for you whatsoever. And I think in the case of Juju Smith-Schuster, once Mason Rudolph comes, we're going to see a bit more targets going his way. And I think the Steelers are going to have to pass the ball to be more effective. It can't just be the James Conner, Benny Snell, when Jalen Samuels returns show. That's just not going to be able to work for the Steelers to be in contention. And we know they want to be. They trade that first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick. The secondary has gotten better. And I think Smith-Schuster has enough talent. And frankly, there's probably people out there that think, well, he only did good when Antonio Brown was around. Now as the sole receiver, he's not going to be very good. So therefore, I just don't anticipate that's going to happen. And I think that's a great buy-low candidate overall, like to the point where you probably don't have to give up too much, but you know you're getting an elite talent that even in the PPR format, or I guess I should say even in the standard format, has the ability to go for 100 receiving yards and has the speed and size to get in the red zone and do something effective. So I like him as a buy-low candidate, and Odell Beckham is the other one. And it's more so that I'm interested to see what the Browns do along the offensive line. Now, of course, Jalen Ramsey was traded, but we did hear reports earlier yesterday that the Browns were sniffing around Trent Williams, and maybe there's a deal in place, maybe there's not, or there could be one in the pipeline soon. I feel like something's going to get figured out. And again, we look at Baker Mayfield's schedule. Yes, they have the bye week this week. The Patriots following that, that's difficult. But around the fantasy playoffs is when you're looking at a receiver and a quarterback combination that should be one of the best in the league, going against some of the worst defenses, and we are pretty certain they're the worst defenses, like the Dolphins and the like. So I feel very confident Odell Beckham's going to be able to turn it around, and maybe he's not going to be able to return late first-round value like when you draft them. But if you're trading for him, I do think he's going to be among the top 10 receivers in the NFL during that stretch.
Joe, as always, great stuff. I'm glad we got to expose you to a later audience this morning, but we'll expect you back at 6:35 next Wednesday in your normal slot.
No problem. Just get some coffee and we're ready to go.
All right, thanks, Joe, buddy. Bartel, our expert from RotoWire.com. Again, for two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football and get our free 10-day trial for Ben and Woods listeners at RotoWire.com/free.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.